Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two of Chasing Big Joe here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier filling in for Chasing Joe. Chase off making candles in his office. Joe is on vacation this week. Hey, racing fans, don't miss this. 102.5 The Game and the Bruschetta Bourbon present True American Racer, the Bobby Rahal story, this Friday at the historic Franklin Theater. Experience the story of an Indy 500 champion, team owner, and racing legend, plus a live Q&A with Michael Colley, Graham Rahal, and special guests. Get your tickets now at franklintheater.com. It is 1 o'clock here on a Tuesday, which means we welcome in our next guest, ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Hey, so I just wanted to ask to start things off. Obviously, yesterday, a list of top 10 quarterbacks was released. Josh Allen, number one. Mahomes, two. You can go on and on. Cam Ward not receiving any votes in that list, and I don't think that's surprising. But my question to you, Tim, is what can Cam Ward do this season to get votes and get praise and get national recognition?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is production, right? Everybody that's on that list has, you know, at least at some level produced, you know, with some type of consistency where people say, look, he deserves consideration. And then even with that being said, there are guys, look, that have won Super Bowl or been to Super Bowls that didn't make it onto the list. So I think what I would say is, look, you've got to produce. Just because you produce, it doesn't mean, you know, that you're going to end up on that list. But, you know, in order to be considered, you know, a top half of the league quarterback, I think people are expecting to see seasons where there's, you know, 4,000 yards passing and over 30 touchdowns. And, you know, if you do that, then I think you'll get people's attention.
Well, there was a Titan on another list that was given some recognition. Peter Skoronski was ranked the number 9 interior offensive lineman, according to a list put out by NFL executives and scouts. Does this signal to Titans fans and to the franchise as a whole that he's deserving of a new contract?
Well, I mean, when you get league recognition, that definitely is a you know, it's a signal of what your market value could be, right? You know, fan voting's one thing, but when it's, you know, kind of an anonymous poll or, you know, inside the league poll on things, then, you know, you can see just how the league would view somebody. And, you know, if the league views somebody in a certain light, then, and he's in your organization and you don't want to lose good players, yeah, then I think finding a way to make something work, you know, makes sense.
ESPN NFL analyst and Innsworth Tigers head coach Tim Hasselbeck is online with this. Tim, when it comes to some parts of the defensive side of the ball for the Tennessee Titans, it was reported by Paul Karski about 4 days ago about Femi Oladejo's spring practice absence of his injury of his hamstring. When it comes to the ideas and what Robert Saleh has mentioned about these next 40 days when they had their time off was very important for young players. Well, one, especially being a guy like Femi Oladejo, not being, I guess, healthy through the rookie minicamp all along with the spring practices. How is he able to build off of this with having that little nagging hamstring injury previously?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, like that's one of the things that I feel like NFL head coaches are so concerned about is, you know, there's soft tissue injuries, and you know, the setbacks on those are brutal just because it, you know, it's just time and reps away. And then, you know, when you talk about, you know, there's typically a break before you come back to training camp, and, you know, every team kind of runs the gamut in terms of, you know, some guys maybe overtrain, some guys, you know, undertrain and, you know, never get off the couch. And so, like, I think really what you want is just, you know, maturity by your entire team in terms of how they you know, take care of their bodies and prepare and get ready for the season. And if you're a guy that's coming off of something, an injury, especially a soft tissue injury, like doing everything you can to make sure that it doesn't pop up again. And, you know, I feel like we've hit an era of pro athlete now where, you know, guys are spending a lot of money to, like, on their own bodies to take care of themselves. And, you know, you hopefully have built a team culture of guys doing that.
Yeah, and adding on to that, like, looking at how the Titans have drafted in that little defensive positioning group. So you have Keldrick Falk from Auburn. You go and grab Jermaine Johnson in free agency. You go grab John Franklin Myers. You bolstered the edge rushers and interior defensive linemen. Do you look at it as more of a backup plan for a guy like Femi Oladejo with the additions of those players? Or do you look at it as a replacement plan?
No, I mean, I think that it's probably I think in a way it's maybe developmental, you know, thought process originally, but I don't think that, and we talked about this, you know, I don't remember when it was, a couple weeks ago, where basically it's like they clearly, like guys that had been with, you know, coaches on this staff before, you know, especially guys, you know, I mean, you mentioned Jermaine Johnson, like, you know, somebody that's been an edge rusher and a productive edge rusher. Well, like there's probably a thought and an expectation and a plan. But, you know, when you draft a player, especially when you draft a player high, and it's clear that you are addressing that position, both in free agency and the draft, I think all options are on the table in terms of opportunity. I really don't think that, you know, outside of quarterback, you know, I don't think that teams view position players in a way to say, look, he can't come in and compete right away. You know, you might have a thought like, yeah, it might be a year away. Might need to get stronger. You know, certain things you need to work on. But ultimately, look, I don't care if you're a fifth-round draft pick, a seventh-round draft pick, a first-round draft pick. You know, I do think that in my experience, most times, guys are given a chance to compete and have a legitimate role on the team.
Well, speaking of that, Tim, I want to ask you about the role of Tajay Spears. Obviously, he hasn't really delivered on an NFL level to the point he was expected to, being drafted in, I believe, third round. Mm-hmm. What kind of role do you expect him to play this season, especially with the drafting of Nick Singleton this last draft?
Yeah, I like Spears' game. You know, I think there's an element, you know, it's a little bit like if you looked at Pollard when he was at the, you know, when he was at the Cowboys, it was like, oh wait, there's something here. You know, there's a different energy to how he runs. He's maybe a little bit better on some of these perimeter runs. You know, and they would try to create opportunities like that for him. I think that Spears has got to be kind of the same way. Like, I think he's got to, you know, I think there's got to be at least a niche that he has in terms of certain things that he can kind of bring to the table, you know, in both the run game and the passing game, in terms of, you know, just a certain energy or ability to do it well. Like, and I think when you look around the league, you know, when you look around the league at certain positions, like, you know, tight end, running back, wide receiver, you know, teams that can say, like, all right, this guy can do this. So I don't care if you're a tight end. Look, if you're a tight end and you can do certain things, you're going to play. Mercedes Lewis played nearly 20 years because he's good in line blocking, you know, wide tight end. Even teams, you take the Philadelphia Eagles, for example, when they had Saquon Barkley, like, he still would come off the field because they would identify a back, you know, that was good as a third down back. And then similar things happen, you know, obviously at wide receiver. So I think that's important as you're trying to figure out who you have on your roster, is just figuring out what guys can do. And, you know, I think it looks partly the responsibility of the coaching staff, but it's also, you know, responsibility of the player to kind of step up and produce.
Yeah, it seems like, Tim, the responsibility of the players for the Tennessee Titans when it comes to wide receivers, tight ends, and quarterbacks, guys like Cam Ward, Carnell Tate, Gunnar Helm, and so forth, seems like they're holding up to their end of the bargain with this time off, because mm-hmm. there was a video that was, I guess, tweeted out yesterday on Twitter, and it was Carnell Tate, Gunnar Helm, and even Xavier Restrepo was out there throwing balls with Cam Ward in Miami. So it just seems like they're holding up their end of the bargain, and it seems to be promising at this point as well.
And it's kind of funny. You know, the NFLPA is basically, you know, bargain for players to have more time off in the offseason, and it feels like, you know, this, you know, mid-July time period is when every quarterback, you know, posts on Instagram his little, you know, get-together that he's doing
right. Yeah.
His team. And so it's why the owners didn't really care to give guys, like, fine, you want time off in July? Sure. Go right ahead. We'll keep more money, and you guys will end up working out together anyway. Listen, I would just say this. I think more than anything, it's a good sign of leadership when a starting quarterback wants to get guys together, and then guys show up to do just that.
Yeah, and adding on to that, when it comes to a player that's a tight end in this case on this video and on Twitter, it's Gunnar Helm. And I've been very excited about the optimism surrounding his name and his involvement possibly with this offense. Obviously, you get Daniel Bellinger that's been with Brian Daboll previously in New York. Seeing him catch passes from Cam Ward with the rest of the wide receivers during this down period is, I'd say, a promising thing for this offense. It shows that there's a potential aspect of versatility, including the tight end position.
I would agree, and I think that, and I think there'll be varying types of tight end, which is how they've already addressed the team, and it's a little bit what I was saying about kind of understanding your role. Not every tight end is exactly the same. Guys have different skill sets, and it used to be you would get the best matchups with, you know, a running back on a Mike linebacker. You know, now, you know, the length and athletic ability of tight ends, oftentimes is the best way you can create matchup problems in the passing game. And so, yeah, when you have versatile tight ends, it opens things up quite a bit.
We'll have more with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Chasing Big Joe here on this Tuesday. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier filling in for Chuck and JoJo. We are joined by ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. And Tim, I'm curious of your opinion on the Pittsburgh Steelers this season. They're a team I'm very unsure about, being as they obviously bring back Aaron Rodgers, they trade for Michael Pittman, but I don't know how much that elevates them over the rest of the teams in the AFC North.
Yeah, I'm not sure it elevates them over the teams in the AFC North. And I was surprised that they ran it back with Aaron Rodgers. I do think Pittman helps, especially when you consider DK Metcalf in back, because I think DK, was really good there. Now, you know, when he was suspended for those 2 weeks, I think it really exposed Pittsburgh, which is probably why, you know, Pittman was a priority. And I do think that Aaron Rodgers probably gives them their best chance to be successful this season, you know, when you consider the quarterbacks that they had on their roster. I just, I'm surprised they decided to go that route. But, yeah, when you look at the division, look, I think it's fair to say, like, maybe he's the third best quarterback in that division. The roster, you know, isn't necessarily better than other, you know, rosters in that division. So, that's why it feels weird when you kind of run it back with a 40-something-year-old quarterback, and you wouldn't even be you might be the third best team in the division. That's, you know, somewhat of a curious decision in terms of how you kind of plan for the future.
Tim, I saw you on TV yesterday talking about free agents, and one of the free agents you brought up was Deebo Samuel, and a fit with him would be the Los Angeles Rams. Is that a fit that you think could, obviously they're in their Super Bowl window right now, they're probably favorites to win it this year, but is that a fit that you think could elevate Matt Stafford to a season beyond what he had last year?
You know, I think it protects them a little bit. Look, Devontae Adams had a great year, but he's not young. Puka Nacua has been a fantastic player. He's been pretty banged up. And, you know, there's some, you know, kind of whispers of maybe some off-the-field concerns as a contract situation. So, like, you know, I think that, you know, protecting yourself with a guy that is versatile as Deebo isn't crazy. And then I think the other side of it with Debo is, you know, he's kind of this dirty work wide receiver, right? Like, he's a guy that you can throw the ball to in perimeter screens at the line of scrimmage. He's not afraid to block. He's, he's crossing routes and things, over the middle, good run after the catch, that type of stuff kind of fits what the Rams like and have looked for. And so, when you consider that, you know, that's why, you know, the Rams feel like they could be a fit.
Tim, when it comes to the Rams as well on the defensive side of the ball, it seems like the conversations about Aaron Donald potentially coming out of retirement are kind of picking up traction a little bit. Do you see that actually happening, or is that just going to stay smoke in the air?
But this feels like where there's smoke, there's fire, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
Does it feel that way? I mean, that's what it feels like to me. And I don't have any information. Look, when Aaron Rodgers was throwing at UCLA with DK Metcalf, I was kind of like, he's still playing. Like, quarterbacks, 40-year-old quarterbacks, don't put cleats on and throw routes, drop back and throw routes if they're not planning on playing. You know, like when everyone was trying to figure out if Favre was going to play or not, it was
right.
Like, oh, see if he's still throwing. If he's still throwing, he's going to play. Because when you get to that age, throwing hurts. And so, for Aaron Donald, I don't know. He loves working out. Seems like he's always loved working out. Evidently, he works out at, the team's facility. I guess what I would say is, what kind of workout is he doing? Is he on the executive workout plan, or, is he putting cleats on and changing direction? If he's putting cleats on and changing direction, I would feel like there's a pretty good shot that he's playing football once again.
Yeah, I saw a video online of him walking the practice facility, or I guess walking the fields. I don't know if it was barefoot or with cleats, but then there was also more context clues of Myles Garrett posting, just settling in L.A., and it was a framed, I guess, jersey of Aaron Donald on his wall. So it just seems like you said, there's smoke, there's fire. I'm kind of in the boat that I think it's going to happen. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, it feels that way. It feels like too many people have been talking about it for it not to be a thing. And then that would be something. Now, look, I think it's hard to have especially at a combat position, to have time off and think that you come back and not skip a beat. But he was, some people, it's like a running back that gets into his 30. There are a few guys that are in rarefied air. Like, Derrick Henry's been that at running back.
Sure.
I would think that Aaron Donald would kind of be like that at D-line.
Yeah, and kind of sticking with the NFC, I don't know if you heard the Dan Patrick show earlier this week, but he had Kevin O'Connell on. They were talking about the quarterback position, and it was so Dan Patrick of him to say, yeah, we all know JJ is going to be, or I'm sorry. We all know that, Kyler Murray is going to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
And obviously, Kevin O'Connell did not appreciate that. Just gave him the look like, come on, man. But again, on the same wavelength of speculation, it does seem that way of Kyler Murray is going to be the quarterback, right?
I mean, it feels like it. It's kind of like there's smoke, there's fire. There's so much excitement about, Kyler Murray going there. It seemed like he was targeted by the Vikings. It seemed like he wanted to be there. Maybe he knew about the situation and kind of how they felt about J.J. McCarthy. So, yeah, I mean, look, I do think it's like no different than Daniel Jones going to the Colts. I think that signing was kind of an admission by the organization that, hey, maybe this isn't really working out with Anthony Richardson, injury or otherwise. It's just not working out. And so, we need to do something about it. That's what it feels like to me with, what's potentially happening in Minnesota. It just feels like this is kind of an admission that, like, yeah, maybe we didn't get this right.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, what are your thoughts on the Seattle Seahawks selling for $9.6 billion? It's interesting to me because that's a team that's, it's not a massive market. It's a decent-sized market,
yep.
But they're the defending Super Bowl champions, and they immediately open up for sale right after they win the Super Bowl. So what are your thoughts on that massive sale?
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you, like, how much money because of these TV contracts and, of how much these organizations are worth. And you're exactly right. Look, Seattle's not a it's not necessarily a small market, but they do not get the attention, you know, that other markets get. Like my brother played there for 12 years, and there was, you know, almost a joke at the time, you know, that he played in Southern Alaska, right? It's just, you know, you don't get nearly, there is a bit of an East Coast bias, and you don't get nearly, you know, the same type of attention that, you know, other organizations get. But that being said, look, you're one of the 32, and the NFL is certainly king right now. And yeah, as an organization, they have had some success, and that does help the value of your franchise. So, look, it's a massive number. It's hard for me to even get my brain around, like, that's what we're talking about. But yeah, I mean, it's, look, the valuation is definitely, and the income and the profit is growing faster than the labor costs. I can tell you that. And so, you know, that's why they've been attractive. And really the only reason they sold was, you know, Paul Allen passed away. His sister took over the organization. It's not really something that she's, you know, knowledgeable or passionate about. And so, you know, she's not saying she's forced to sell it, but she kind of had to sell it.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that, like, the money is you know, going to end up all going to charity. And so it's just a very unique situation where I don't think that it was, you know, I don't think it was like, hey, this is just going, like, this is out to auction and we're going just to the highest bidders. Like, I don't think there were as many suitors as there could have been, and I think there would be for other franchises that didn't have such a unique situation.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck has been our guest here on the Chase and Big Joe show. He joins us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Tim, thanks for the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. See you, fellas.
See you, Tim. Thank you to Tim Hasselbeck for joining us.
Should have told him, hey, thanks for his brother Matt for following the show.
I mean, yeah.
He's the man.
Yeah.
Let's just put it, his brother Matt is socially aware on Twitter.
He is locked in, as the kids say.
He loves the show.
He fan of the show. Who doesn't love the show?
Everyone does. It's a 3-hour cab ride.
It's a 3-hour lunch, as they say. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll react to some of what Tim had to say coming up next. Plus, Quarterback Season 3 is out. I haven't watched it yet. I don't think you've watched it yet.
I have not. I totally forgot today was the 14th.
Yeah, it's... I haven't had the time just because I'm here a lot and working with other people, which I love. But at the same time, I don't have the time that the three guys that come on after this show have. So
yeah.
I haven't watched it yet.
If I find a little time, I might give a glance at it.
I'll try and squeeze an episode in.
It's what, Joe Flacco, Cam Ward, Jaden Daniels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
Baker
Mayfield. I'm in.
Which I'm excited for Baker Mayfield.
I'm in.
We'll discuss expectations, what we expect to see from Cam Ward in the show, coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show on 102.5 The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.